Chapter 2. Thanksgiving. I woke up early the next morning feeling very excited. When I was living in Florida as a child, Thanksgiving was one of my favorite holidays. It commemorates how the Native Americans, or Indians, helped the first English settlers in Massachusetts survive their first difficult year in the New World. They gave them food and showed them what vegetables to plant. The English settlers celebrated their first harvest by inviting the Indians to a big dinner to thank them for their help. Today, American families still celebrate this holiday as a day to give thanks for all the good things they have by getting together and having a big turkey dinner. Although turkey wasn't the main dish on that first Thanksgiving, it was one of the things that they ate. The turkey is a Native American bird and quickly became the main dish for any special meal in the United States. New York adds a special touch to this holiday by having a big parade on Thanksgiving morning that is televised nationally. It is organized by Macy's, the famous department store, and it lasts for more than 3 hours. High school marching bands from all over the country play in it. Clowns and famous people ride in elaborate floats. However, the most impressive things in the parade are the enormous balloons, usually of famous cartoon characters. They could be as big as 20 meters high. Jason said that we needed to find a space along the parade route by 7 a.m. The parade starts at 8 a.m., and thousands of people go to see it. At 6:45, we were finishing our coffee when Jason's bell rang. "Oh, I forgot to tell you last night," Jason said. "I invited a friend of mine to come with us to the parade. I hope you don't mind." "Of course not," I said. "I'm looking forward to meeting your friends." As we were walking down the stairs, he told me that his friend's name was Elaine, and she worked part-time in the same restaurant as him. She was studying at New York University and was finishing her doctoral thesis on the history of New York City. "I'm sure that she'll be able to tell you lots of interesting things about the city," Jason said as we reached the first floor. Jason opened the door and introduced me to his friend. "Wow! I didn't expect her to be so pretty. She looked just like a film star." "I've brought some hot chocolate in a thermos," she said. "It's quite cold, and we'll be standing in the open air for more than 3 hours. I'm sure that we'll be happy to have it." She was right. It was very, very cold, but we had a great time, and the hot chocolate helped a lot. We got a space on the corner of 49th Street and Broadway, and waited for the parade to start. "Actually, the origins of this parade are European," Elaine explained. "Really?" I asked. "I thought it celebrated an American holiday." "It does," she replied. "However, the people who worked at Macy's in the 1920s were almost all European immigrants. These immigrants wanted to celebrate this day like they celebrated local holidays in Europe. I guess that a lot of parades were organized there because in New York they marched down the streets dressed up as cowboys, knights, and warriors. They even borrowed 25 animals from the Central Park Zoo. More than 250,000 people came out to see the parade. It was an instant success. The first big balloons appeared in 1927. The people who dress up as clowns and pull the balloons today are still Macy's employees. Just then, I saw an enormous balloon appear in the distance. It was Spider-Man. As it got closer, I saw that more than 30 people were holding its ropes and pulling it down Broadway. It was so big that it almost touched the buildings on either side of the street. For the next 2 hours, many other balloons, marching bands, floats, and clowns marched past us. I felt like I was a little boy again, and I couldn't stop smiling. The last float of the parade carried Santa Claus. His float marked the end of the parade and the beginning of the Christmas season here. After Santa Claus had passed, Elaine turned to Jason. "I should go home and make the mashed potatoes for later on," she said. Will Antonio be joining us for the orphans' dinner? Jason nodded. Great, she continued. Well then, I'll see both of you in a few hours. She gave us a lovely smile and walked away. I'm confused, I said to Jason. Are we going to a dinner with orphans tonight? Aren't we supposed to be having a traditional Thanksgiving dinner? We're the orphans, Jason answered, laughing. Most people in the United States try to have Thanksgiving dinner with their families, but not everybody can do that. My family is overseas this year, so I am joining friends instead. You don't have family here, so you are an orphan too. Okay, now I understand, I said. This is a very big country, and many people can't travel the large distances to be with their families, Jason continued. Many immigrants don't have families here. Elaine and I have got many friends who can't be with their families, and so we call ourselves orphans. We have Thanksgiving dinner together and make our own family. Each person brings part of the dinner. Elaine is bringing the mashed potatoes and we're bringing the wine. I think you'll enjoy yourself. It's going to be very special. A little after 1 p.m, Jason and I were in one of New York's famous yellow cabs, just like the ones I'd seen in the films. I was very surprised that the driver didn't know how to get to the address and had to use his GPS. Don't New York drivers have to learn the map of the city? I asked Jason later. No, I think that's only in London, he answered. Sometimes they call a help center for directions, and the center is in Mumbai, India. As we were walking down the street, Jason explained to me that we were in a neighborhood called Soho, an area with a lot of fancy shops and art galleries. The architecture of the buildings and the narrow streets reminded me of parts of London. These buildings were all small factories at the beginning of the 20th century, Jason explained. People started to convert them into flat buildings a few decades ago. They're called loft apartments and take up the whole floor. They're enormous and very expensive. Have you got a rich friend who lives here? I asked. No, he replied. But a friend of mine has got rich friends who live here. Jason's friend Peter was a Hawaiian ballet dancer. He was a friend of the married couple who owned the loft. They were marine biologists, and he was taking care of it while they were away in the South Pacific working with whales. It all sounded so exotic. Minutes later, we walked into the largest flat I've ever been in. It was so big that one of the guests was riding a bicycle around it, although it was fully furnished. There was a grand piano in the middle of the room that looked small in so much space. Elaine greeted us with a kiss. I'm going to introduce this handsome Spaniard to the rest of the group, she said. My face went red, and I hoped that she didn't notice. Then I was introduced to the most interesting group of people I've ever met in one place. As well as Peter, there was an opera singer, a composer, a few musicians, a few actors, a sculptor, a painter, a journalist, a chef, and some lawyers. There were people from California, New Orleans, Alabama, France, Japan, Russia, South Africa, and there was even someone from Seville. His name was Jose Luis, and he was a sports journalist for a Hispanic newspaper. I didn't know that there were newspapers written in Spanish here, I said. Sure, he replied. There's a very large Hispanic population in New York, with people from almost every part of Latin America. Many of them like reading the news in Spanish. Just then, Peter appeared. The turkey's ready, he said. It's time to eat. We sat at a long table and had a wonderful meal. The food was delicious and the conversation was stimulating. They were all very friendly and open, and I felt at home with them. Although we finished dessert around 5 p.m, no one left until 10 p.m. I couldn't believe how much time had passed. It had been a wonderful evening and I made some interesting new friends. Everyone gave me their phone number and told me to call them because they wanted to show me things that they liked in the city. I was very happy to hear that Elaine was going to share a cab with us as she lived very near Jason. "I guess you're planning to see all the tourist attractions while you're here," she said to me as we were going home in the cab. "Yes, of course I am," I replied. "Would you like some company?" she asked. "I've never been to the Empire State Building, the Statue of Liberty, or any of those places. I'm like most New Yorkers. We want to see these things, but constantly postpone going to them. As you're here, I'd like to show them to you, and to myself." "That would be great," I said. She promised to call me the next day to decide which place we would go to first. It was the perfect ending to a perfect day.